City Council come back from recess. Programming note for my staff, it looks like I will be late for the 5 o'clock, so fair warning, and so will the rest of council.
Okay.
I've got a mayor to meet, but we'll be a little late. So, Carla, can you please read the title for resolution, item number 670?
Adopt the recommendations contained within the Outer Powell Conceptual Design Plan.
I'm really pleased today to bring forward this conceptual design plan for Powell from East 99th to Southeast 174th that addresses many of the 20-year needs for all modes in this corridor. This is a state-funded project that we worked hard to go out and get the funding for, because Southeast Powell Boulevard is a state highway. This is been shepherded by Stuart Gwynn and John Gillum, and I want to thank you both, especially John. I know you've taken the lead on this for all your fantastic work on this. And are you going to be showing some PowerPoints? So we will go down to our seats to watch the PowerPoints.
Oh,
yes.
I just realized we've survived like 2 weeks without PowerPoints.
Yeah. Well.
We're now have a PBOT issue in front of us.
Okay. Can you lower the screen now?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, even though you're not here anymore, Mayor and members of the council.
We're back here.
I know you're still here, but you're not where I can see you. So anyway, I am very happy to be here today to ask you to adopt the Outer Powell Conceptual Design Plan. We've been working on this for 2 years, and we think we have a good outcome, a good product. I'm joined here, as the mayor said, by John Gillum, who is my colleague and boss, and I think our other colleague, April Bertelson, is wandering around behind me somewhere. So, as I said, we're very happy to be here. But I want to take just a second to look at this photograph that's on the first page, this right here. This, in essence, shows everything that's wrong with Powell Boulevard today. No pedestrian facilities, no drainage. Person steps off the bus, they step right into a puddle of water. There's no facilities for the bus to load or unload. There's no left-hand turn access for automobiles in the road. So there's just a whole host of things here that are going terribly, terribly wrong. And this project aims to take the first step to begin to correct some of these very bad things that are happening on Powell Boulevard today. And with that, I'd like to get into the presentation. As the mayor said, the project limits are from Southeast 99th to Southeast 174th, and Southeast Powell Boulevard is a state highway. Construction is to be funded by ODOT. The city will not be responsible for funding or constructing this facility. It's a state facility. And the goal is to provide a conceptual design plan that will accommodate the 20-year needs of motor vehicles, bikes, pedestrians, and transit. We considered a whole bunch of different alternatives, 3-, 4-, and 5-lane cross-sections for vehicles. We only had one alternative for the ped and bike facilities. One was an 8-foot buffered bike lane together with a 12-foot sidewalk corridor with a 7.5-foot sidewalk zone and a 4.5-foot furnishing zone. We finally settled on a 3-lane alternative, and the 3-lane alternative is good from 99th out to 174th for the first 15 years, and I'm going to get into that in a little much more detail in just a moment. The conceptual design plan will provide the basis for future preliminary engineering and public capital improvements, and also for a guide for private development requirements for the dedication and frontage improvements for the roadway as it moves forward and is improved. And let me see if I can operate this computer. Now, this is this is the essence. This is the street concept recommendations from 190, or from, I'm sorry, from Southeast 99th to Southeast 162nd. And the important thing to look at here is right here, the dedication we're asking for in the roadway. It's 70, I can't read the 76 foot, right, John? And that enables us to provide a sidewalk, planning strip, bike lane, and three travel lanes. You can see that. So that's from 99th out to 162nd. Now, if we go to the next slide, this includes the short-term concept for south, or segment four, which is from Southeast 162nd to Southeast 174th. But if you look at this dedication, the dedication, instead of being, what was it before, 76? It's now 88 feet. And why do we enlarge that dedication? Because we still have the same cross-section. We still have the sidewalk, the planning strip, the 8-foot bike lane, and the three travel lanes. But the dedication has gotten bigger. And the reason we did that is because we're expecting over time for travel to increase in the outer east end segments of the corridor because of the desire for heavy travel from North Clackamas County through Gresham to access I-84 and outer southeast Portland. So there may be additional traffic there that we can't really nail down today because of a tremendous flux in development because of a recession. So we go to the next slide. This is what we call the long-term street concept. And what we do is we have added, we still have the same dedication, 88 feet. We still have the 12-foot sidewalk corridor, the 8-foot buffered bike lane. But you can see we've added another lane. We have two eastbound lanes and one westbound lane to accommodate future growth, which may occur in the outer years, 15 plus. So that is why we have a near-term and a long-term recommendation and why the dedication for both the inner segments and the outer segments is different. And I'll be glad to answer questions when we're done. This is the cross-section for the outer edge, the sidewalk bike. You can see we have the 12-foot, the frontage zone with the trees, stormwater planters, the sidewalk, the pedestrian, the frontage zone, and the 8-foot buffered bike lanes. Now, there may be instances within the corridor, and we kind of know where some of them might be, but there might be others, where we're going to have to constrain the right-of-way. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by narrowing up the edges. So, and I'm sorry, there's a mistake here. This should, instead of being 14 feet, this should be 16 foot. But we'll maintain the 8-foot buffered bike lane, but we'll narrow the sidewalk down to 8 foot. So we have a total of 16 feet here, rather than the 20 feet that we showed on the total edge treatment. Now, this is the part that kind of takes your breath away. This is the estimated cost to construct this. As you recall, we're recommending a 3-lane alternative. The cost in the outer years for the 3-lane alternative total is $66 million. If we wanted to go to build a 4-lane alternative, that's not recommended, but if we were all the way, it would be $98 million. And I shouldn't say this, but I will. God forbid, if we want to do a 5-lane, it would be $138 million. So it's a lot of money to make these improvements on Powell Boulevard. It doesn't necessarily mean that we would do this entire project all at once, all by itself. It could be done in segments. It could be done in pieces. But nevertheless, this is a lot of money to get to where we have improved Powell Boulevard to where it should be. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about the implementation strategy. You remember we talked about the near term and the long term? These are the benchmarks for transition from the near term to the long term. In other words, how do we know when we reach the end of the near term, we're going into the long term? Well, we look at new information from future RTP updates from Metro. We monitor traffic at key intersections along Southeast Powell to see if it's improving, getting worse, whatever. We respond to the high capacity transit plan for Powell Division Corridor. There could be, right now we know that Metro is working on a transit plan, high-capacity transit plan for the Powell Division corridor. That may have a big change, may bring big changes to Powell. We're going to evaluate changes in the traffic patterns from arterial projects outside Portland, and that's what I meant when I mentioned the traffic coming from North Clackamas County bound for I-84 and outer southeast Portland and Gresham. But anyway, whatever we decide to do, any new plan, any new ideas will be subjected to the same project evaluation criteria that we used for this plan. So we want to keep everything on the up and up, on the level. And the plan recommendation shall remain in effect for 10 or 15 years. In other words, we're going to start in the near term. We want this plan, as it's shown today, to go forward at least 15 years, and then we take these benchmarks, we reevaluate, and decide if we need to make changes. Now, we have the near-term project priority improvements. Am I going too fast? I feel like I'm talking a mile a minute.
No, you're doing great.
Okay, near-term project priority improvements. And this goes back to the photograph I showed you in the first slide. Safety projects for all modes, including left turn access. Remember the photo, no left turn access? Pedestrian and bicycle system gaps alongside, well, there is no system gap because there's no system. I mean, there's nothing there. So everything has to be built, well, except there's a bicycle lane on Powell, but because of the context of the street, it's very confusing to ride on. Pedestrian crossing improvements and access to transit, again, as you can see, there's nothing there. It would all have to be built from scratch. Improvements for faster and more reliable transit. Again, you remember back to the photo, the passenger jumping off the bus in a mud puddle. Well, that's not acceptable, is it? And then we have to look at system management improvements, and we're just showing upgraded signals, but there could be a whole host of things that could be done to improve the operating efficiency of Powell Boulevard. And moving on to additional considerations for project development. We want to reduce the design speed east of 136 to 35 miles an hour. I think today it's either 40 or 45, I can't remember. Address difficult turning movements for school buses at 100, and I think it's 174th. School buses that are accessing schools that are in the Centennial School District have a hard time making that right and left-hand turn, and so we need to be cognizant of that when we redesign that intersection to make sure that those school buses can still negotiate the intersection and avoid impacts to large trees and significant buildings. I don't need to say anything more about that except that the trees are sacred in this part of the world, and they would like to maintain as many of those large fir trees as we can, and as we begin to rebuild this facility. Avoid impacts to Ed Benedict Park. We don't want to, and any, well, we really can't without going through an enormous amount of explanation with the Federal Highway Administration. We can't really impact that park, but we don't want to. And we want to minimize impacts to businesses across from Ed Benedict Park. And this, frankly, is one of those places where we have a constrained right-of-way. And you remember I talked to you about the constrained right-of-way, how we could pinch it down? This is one of the places where we may want to look at that. In fact, I'm sure this is one of the, hopefully I won't be looking at it, but someone will be from 10 or 15 years from now. And then we want to employ options for minimizing impacts to the community. We're going to employ a constrained corridors designs. We're going to shift the center line or taking equally from both sides. Expand equal width for each side of the street. Reduce the length or width of the center medians. Explore alternative driveway locations. Explore alternative bus stop locations and pedestrian crossings. Explore a common pedestrian facility, serving corridor and the park. Recognize that the USDOT 4F statutes will apply, and that's where we have to do a lot of explanations to the Federal Highway Administration if we were wanting in any way, if ODOT was in any way wanted to into that park. And lastly, the integration with our local plans. The street design classification will change from a regional corridor, and this is very important, to a community corridor, which means it serves a completely different function. It doesn't serve regional travel anymore. If we can help it, it'll be more of a community street. the freight classification would change from a major truck street to a truck access street. In other words, we wouldn't expect Powell to accommodate large numbers of very large trucks. Traffic classification change of Southeast 174th from a neighborhood collector to a district collector. You remember I told you a moment ago about how we have all this north, or forecasting anyway, a lot of north-south traffic that's coming from North Clackamas on up to Southeast Portland, Gresham, and on to I-84. Well, because of that increased traffic, a neighborhood collector status is not appropriate anymore for Southeast 174th. We would like to change that to a district collector. We're going to update the master street plan map so that the streets that connect to and serve Powell are more focused. And we want to update, we say TSP, I'm sorry for using the acronym there, the Transportation System Plan project list with descriptions and estimated costs for this project. And I just have a couple of more slides, and I thank you for being so patient. One of the things we didn't talk about is the huge amount of public outreach and public participation we had with this project. And this is a photo of one of our open houses that we held at Ron Russell Middle School. And as I recall, there were well in excess of 100 people at the meeting, and it was a very, very, and everyone, we had four open houses, and every one of them were similar to this in terms of their attendance and interest and questions and everything. So we think we've done a really good job with the public participation. Our community working group, some members of which you'll hear from today, have been outstanding. They have been working with us every month, meeting with us, giving us their ideas, and really providing the community input that we needed. So we've been very, very, very pleased at the public participation we had in this project. And I just want to show you a couple of and you saw these in the reports we gave you, a couple of corridor improvement maps. And I want to show you this for just one reason. When we say this is a conceptual plan, we mean conceptual. And this map shows you a conceptual plan. I mean, there's not a lot of detail here. It's being a lot of the really specific detail is being left for future planners and engineers to resolve. See, we show where the median is. We show where the yellow line here is, the sidewalk, the bike path. But it's very, very conceptual. We're just trying to provide a bare outline for future engineers and planners to work with. And here's the second one. This is 122nd. I mean, this is probably the busiest street in all of outer southeast Portland. And we just have a dotted line drawn around it. We haven't attempted to solve all the problems that are going to occur at 122nd. And there will be many, but this is what a conceptual plan is. We're trying to point out the problems that are going to occur in the future and tell our people that have been working on this in the future, this is what you have to really focus on. And I think with that, I am done. And I'm going to turn it over to John for a few comments.
Thank you, Stuart. Yeah, I just wanted to make a point of clarification that was pointed out to me. And this would be changing the text in the plan. It's not a change in the resolution, but on figure 6, page 19, which has the plan view of the area near Ed Benedict Park, there's a map note that says roadway shifted to avoid park impacts. And that note should be deleted because it was later supplanted by language on page 17, which gives some guidance on how to address that issue. And then related to that also is on page 17, the second bullet within the second grouping of bullets. There should be clarification that the dedication requirements will remain as 38 feet from center line on each side of the street in segments 1 through 3. And the point there being that there may be a difference between what will be the dedication requirement, what will eventually be the roadway build-out. But as far as a dedication requirement, it'll comply to the 76 feet that Stuart mentioned. So we just felt that clarification was helpful. And so city staffs would support this change in the plan language, but we'd also want to make sure we get ODOT concurrence on that. But my conversation with them previously would indicate they would be okay with that.
Okay.
What was the first page that you said to delete the comment?
There was on page 19. And there is a note with an arrow and a dot that says there's three notes, map notes there. And the middle one says, roadway alignment shifted to avoid park impacts.
Can we just delete that?
We will delete that. And that may, at the end of the day, be what happens. But as far, it's kind of misleading because people think that that's also a guidance for dedication as not intended.
And then the language clarifies that. Thank you.
And then the language on page 17 to support that.
Okay. Can you also, so there seems to be, I've gotten a lot of, we'll find out based on testimony, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback through the process. It seems that the one area of controversy is around the commercial businesses. And you speak to that on page 17. These are the impacts to Curtis, intended to reduce impacts, potential impacts to Curtis trailers. Do you want to talk about that specific issue so council has some
sure
idea?
As we were preparing the plan, as we got toward the end of the planning process, we became more aware of how the plan may impact Curtis trailers, which is a viable business in this area, and it's a business that has great community support, and it's also a business that participated closely on the process and had membership on a community working group. But that's a real difficult spot because for several reasons. One is it's across the street from Ed Benedict Park, and that's part of Ed Benedict Park has a skateboard facility there. And it's also where the road kind of curves and makes a sharp dip, which is a little bit unusual for the alignment compared to the rest of Powell. And then there's also some commercial buildings on Curtis Trailer's property. So there's some, it's a little bit more of a difficult area. So what we wanted to do was to add some additional notes that would recognize as sort of a special area and give us some guidance and options on how to move forward. And that's what those list of bullet points are on page 17.
And I have an amendment that council can look at while we take testimony that speaks to this. Let's see if we want to deal with it at the end of the hearing. But it basically says, be it further resolved, the council recognizes the value of the community, of the economic viability of Curtis Trailers, and the value of maintaining an attractive and functional Ed Benedict Park. Therefore, the council requests that the Oregon Department of Transportation, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, the Portland Bureau of Parks and Recreation, and Curtis Trailers continue to discuss and evaluate right-of-way concept options compatible with the Outer Powell Conceptual Design Plan, which is what you were just speaking to. But this would be in the resolution, so we're caught between a great business and a great park, and so we've got more sort of work to do to see if we can come up with the best possible option.
Move that amendment now.
Sure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Additional discussion. Carly, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Goldsmith?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment approved. Anything else?
Before you take testimony, I'd just like to once again say and express my gratitude to our citizens working groups. They have just been soldiers all the way. They have helped us no end. And I also want to, I didn't do a very good job of this, but I want to point out April Bertelson, who's sitting over here by herself, who was our public outreach manager, and she did a terrific job, as you can see from that photograph from the open house and all of the public input we had on this project. We're really happy with that aspect of it.
You're a gem. Yes. Well, thank you for that.
One question.
Yeah. Questions?
So I guess I'm just trying to understand on segment four, where you go to, in essence, four lanes, two eastbound, and you were saying to alleviate issues of people from Clackamas County going north to 84, I guess I'm So I had to...
Well, I'll let John.
I had to figure out that movement.
He's the traffic guy.
Because you run into Powell Butte, don't you?
Yeah, well, actually, because of Powell Butte, it makes that segment of Powell a little different because it interrupts, like, north-south traffic routes. And so we looked at it a little more closely, and there's growing north-south traffic demand in the future. And so what happens is that there's traffic that will come south on 162nd down to Powell, mm-hmm. and then travel east, and then travel south again on 174th. And so we have kind of a movement where that segment four is serving both east-west travel and north-south travel because 162nd doesn't go through due to Powell Butte. And that problem is
Going home.
Yes, in the PM peak direction.
North Clackamas County.
You got it. Yeah, so in the PM peak direction, we found that by adding an additional through lane eastbound, keeps the right-of-way sort of narrow and address the traffic issue.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. You'll stick around. All right, Carly, can you please begin calling folks up to testify?
We have a total of 12 people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Shelley Romero, Tom Barnes, and Tom Lewis.
Ms. Romero, would you like to go first?
Sure, thank you.
Our key partner on this project, thank you for all your great investment and efforts.
Thank you. I have a letter I'd like to read on behalf of Jason Till, ODOT Region 1 Manager. Dear Mayor Adams and Commissioners, the Oregon Department of Transportation is pleased to support the City of Portland's adoption of the Outer Powell Boulevard Conceptual Design Plan. We would like to express our thanks for the dedication and many hours of hard work that the East Portland community members put forth towards the development of this conceptual design plan. There is tremendous enthusiasm for making the Outer Powell area safer for pedestrians, cyclists, transit users, and drivers, as well as enhancing the community's sense of place. ODOT supported the City of Portland's application for the Transportation Growth Management Grant that paid for this conceptual design plan and actively participated in the community working group meetings. We also worked closely with the City of Portland and community to resolve several technical issues that arose throughout the planning process. ODOT has committed $5.5 million in funding in the current statewide transportation improvement program for safety improvements on Outer Powell, a significant investment given today's financial limitations. Following adoption of the plan, we intend to initiate design and construction of improvements aimed at improving safety at high crash sites. With revenue forecasts predicting further declines in transportation funding in the coming years, it will take substantial new revenues to fund the full build-out of major modernization projects, such as the widening of Powell Boulevard. ODOT will continue to support the city and community in the pursuit of funding to improve Powell Boulevard. Sincerely, Jason Tell. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
I'll go next. I'm Tom Lewis with Centennial Community Association. Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. I, representing Centennial, have most of the Section 4 in Centennial area, which is actually from 142nd out to Gresham line at 174th. And I appreciate being called in early to be part of the Citizens Working Group, and had I known it was going to be so long, maybe I would have been so anxious to chime in. But it was a valuable exercise, and had a lot of input from citizens, and I was able to share with other citizens in my neighborhood. I wanted to point out just a couple things in that design of originally designed Powell Boulevard that was stated earlier, but deserves to be stated again, which is the impediment of Powell Butte in that north and south alignment. When the traffic was talked about from the north coming south on 162nd and basically dead ending at Powell Butte, that 162nd thoroughfare is down to Sandy Boulevard. So that is a collection of more than a few miles of traffic to head south and then take that jog on Powell out to 174th, which 174th right now is no more advanced than Powell is now. Maybe less or so, that could be argued. So I would hope that for the safety factor and the schools that are located at, on 174th, that that intersection in particular gets special attention and looked at very carefully for the safety concerns and also the continued traffic on into Gresham at that point as well. So that will be a very major intersection and gathering and traffic exchange in my neighborhood. The other thing is to let you know that through the East Portland Action Plan and the initiative that was brought by citizens and the plan itself for attention on Powell Butte, we did have a measured amount of skin in the game from our limited resources that amounted to $50,000 into the planning of the citizens working group and the developing plan of outer East Powell Boulevard. So I did want to let you know that that's a resource that we had to use wisely and has been, I hope in a future effect, been spent well.
Thank you. Thank you for your leadership in Centennial throughout East Portland area.
Sir. I've spoken in front of you guys before, so you know I'm extremely nervous always being up here. I have my comments. I will read them, so I hopefully won't screw it up too much. Of course, my name is Tom Barnes. I was co-chair of East Portland Action Plan Powell Boulevard Subcommittee. I am a member of the Powell Boulevard Citizens Working Group. The Powell Boulevard CWG worked with ODOT, Oregon Department of Transportation, and Powell Boulevard Portland Bureau of Transportation to help create the current plan that is in front of City Council today for adoption. This plan for Powell Boulevard is supported by ODOT, PBOT, the affected neighborhoods along Powell Boulevard, the overwhelming majority of East Portland residents that came to the open houses held by PBOT, and hopefully City Council. I'm here today as a member of the CWG representing Powellhurst-Gilbert neighborhood. Also, I've been asked to speak for Donna Dion, who represents the Midway Business Association and could not be here today, to ask the City Council to adopt the Powell Boulevard plan. The Citizens Working Group, Oregon Department of Transportation, Portland Bureau of Transportation, and many others have been working on this project for over 2 years. In those 2 years, we have had multiple open houses to capture public input and extensive outreach to local businesses through the Midway Business Association and Donna Dion. Through these efforts and multitude meetings that we have had, I believe that we have created the plan for Powell Boulevard that will work for the best for all concerned. With the plan, we were able to move from a 5-lane neighborhood freeway that would have effectively cut my neighborhood in half to a 3-lane roadway that will improve the traffic flow while remaining the feel of a neighborhood boulevard. This plan will also meet the needs of bicyclists and pedestrians with improved bike lanes, sidewalks, and street crossings throughout the entire project. With the Council's adoption of this plan, we will be able to move to the next step, which will be to find funding for this project. We know that with the current economy, this will be an uphill battle, and our hardest fights are still ahead of us. But one that we are willing and ready to help ODOT with to take, but we need City Council to adopt this plan to move forward. So again, I ask the City Council to please adopt the Powell Boulevard plan so we may turn Powell into the neighborhood treasure with a Main Street corridor that we envision it can be. And that's all I have.
You did a great job, and I just want to underscore the point that unless we start with a conceptual plan that then leads to implementation plans, this stretch of road isn't eligible for state or federal funding.
They don't just, as you know, they don't give you a check and say, from the state or feds, and say, hey, here's a check, go out and do good things on the worst roads. You actually have to have a plan on how you're going to improve the roads. So I just want to underscore that point that you made, that this allows for this part of town and this particular, these corridors to be eligible for state and federal funding that they haven't been eligible before. So your work is really important. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Jim Chassie, Teresa Kishi Soto, and Mark White.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Always good to be here.
Do you like our humble little...
home away from home.
Home away from home.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
That's okay. My name is Jim Chassie. I'm representing the East Portland Action Plan. I've sat on different transportation committees before and have dealt with council on most recently the bike transportation, which is nice to be able to see that the product is finally being built in the neighborhood, which is really nice. So, Mayor, Commissioners, during the process of formulating the East Portland Action Plan, we were fortunate enough to have ODOT Region 1 Manager Jason Tell at the table to address issues regarding Powell Boulevard and other ODOT facilities in the neighborhood. They funded the Transportation Growth Management Study and carried out over the last 2 years, and the result of this study is the Outer Powell Boulevard Conceptual Design Plan. This plan meets all the criteria set forth in the study and calls for the three-lane cross-section out to 162nd and four-lane cross-section to 174th. It is kind of difficult, Commissioner Saltzman, to understand how that all figures, but it's critical that four-lane cross-section. Anyway, it reduces the cost of the improvements to Powell Boulevard from the approximately $140 million called for in the Foster-Powell Corridor study, which was a five-lane cross-section, five and four-lane, I think, throughout Powell, down to $70 million, which was one of the considerations in the study. It also covers 29 different action items in the East Portland Action Plan. The Powell Boulevard Conceptual Design Plan has overwhelming support from the community and unanimous support from the East Portland Action Plan Committee, and we urge council to adopt this plan so we can move forward to address funding issues and make these improvements real. I also want to thank John Gillum for all the effort that he's put forth in this plan and bringing it to council. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark?
My name is Mark White. I'm president of Powell Hurst Gilbert Neighborhood Association. I've got copies of the letter that I emailed to council already. I'd just like to take this opportunity for the public record to reiterate the public investment along Powell Boulevard. My email talks about the impact on the community, the level of poverty and lack of infrastructure and those kinds of things, but I think it's important for folks to remember that along Powell Boulevard, in just this little short stretch, the city has tremendous investment. There's Kelly Butte and Powell Butte, which are the core of our water facilities in for the city, as well as the Emergency Coordination Center, which is going in, which is like the heart and soul of our emergency planning for the city. In addition to that is Ed Benedict Park, which is right next door. And also, there's also another Water Bureau facility at 123rd and Powell. In addition to that, the picture that you saw in the very beginning of this presentation is just a couple of blocks from the a major TriMet facility. So there's tremendous public investment along this roadway, in addition to the really dense residential areas that that go along almost the entire corridor. Powell Hurst Gilbert goes from 99th all the way to 142nd, so it's quite a substantial amount of the project that we're talking about today. It means quite a bit to our neighborhood, but I think it's important to remember that this part of Powell Boulevard has tremendous impact on the city as a whole, and that citizens throughout the city will benefit from improvements along the roadway. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind when we go out and we aggressively pursue funding once we adopt the plan today. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, if I might just interject, Mark and I have spent a considerable amount of time together over the past 6 months at various candidate forums, and I want to honor you for the way that you represented both neighborhood associations and East Portland and helped keep the communities at large understand some of the challenges. I particularly appreciate the way you just pulled that together with that Powell Boulevard is important to our entire city, as is East Portland important to our entire city, and I commend you. I think you did a wonderful job as a candidate, and I thank you for your representation of our neighborhood system as well as your family and your community.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Hi.
Hello. Good afternoon, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I am Teresa Casey Soto. For the past 2 years, I have been a volunteer with OPAL, Organizing People, Activating Leaders, Environmental Justice Oregon. Environmental justice means that all communities deserve to be healthy and safe. All people deserve to have clean air to breathe, affordable transportation to get to jobs or services, and safe communities with sidewalks, crosswalks, and bike lanes. OPAL currently focuses on organizing bus riders and community partners to secure efficient, safe, reliable transportation, especially for those who depend on the bus for our survival. I live on Southeast 125th Place and Southeast Powell Boulevard. I represent OPAL and my community on the CWG because Outer Powell Boulevard is my community, and this planning process is critical to the safety and well-being of my community. We, the members of the CWG, have met with representatives of the City of Portland and ODOT in good faith. I am strongly in favor of the current plan to renovate Outer Southeast Powell Boulevard. I urge you to adopt our plan and to consider air quality and asthma concerns as we plan for future development. I mention air quality because I must constantly run the air filter in my apartment in order to keep myself from coughing up the congestion that builds up in my lungs as a result of the contaminated air that seeps into my apartment from the traffic on Powell Boulevard. Our citizens working group adamantly opposes expanding Southeast Powell Boulevard beyond three lanes. I have lived in Southeast Outer Powell Boulevard for 9 years. Our community is made up of people of color, working class families, lots of children, and the elderly. The plan that we have collectively labored on represents our vision for a vibrant, healthy, safe, Outer Southeast Powell Boulevard community. I want to tell you how disappointed and how angry I feel every time you find funding sources for other parts of the community and you continue to turn a blind eye to our community. Some of the folks on our committee have been trying to get your attention for almost 12 years. Our community feels cheated, and they have every right to feel this way. How would you like to wheel yourself down a street without any sidewalks or push your baby in her stroller through the puddles? Every time that I see parents walking with children on the side of the road, I become scared for their safety. ODOT doesn't live on Outer Southeast Powell Boulevard. They are not going to advocate for those of us who live there. We, the CWG, need for you as the City Council to adopt our plan and support the acquisition of funding to see sidewalks, crosswalks, and bike paths become a reality. It shouldn't be a matter of risking your life every time you want to cross your street. In closing, I urge you on the City Council to listen and to give my community the same opportunity to thrive, to be healthy, and to be happy as you give yours. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three.
We're going to go with Jean DeMaster right now, and then after her, we'll have a group of four who want to come together.
Hi, Jean.
Oh, I didn't intend to be a group of one, but thank you very much. My name is Jean DeMaster. I'm the Director of Human Solutions, which is located at 123rd and Powell Boulevard. I was also a member of the Citizens Working Group, and I'm here today to support the Outer East Powell Conceptual Design Plan. On behalf of Human Solutions, I feel like this plan protects the thousands of people who come to Human Solutions. It gives them easier access to Human Solutions, but more importantly, it gives them safe access. But the reason that Human Solutions is so solidly in support of this plan is because it protects the thousands of people who live on Powell Boulevard and are subject to living in very dangerous conditions as the street stands right now. There are five groups of people that we feel we represent by supporting this plan. The first are people in wheelchairs. There's a lot of people in wheelchairs that live on Powell Boulevard and are barely able to walk, to move the wheelchairs up and down the streets because it's gravel. And the wheelchairs are not able to move and they bounce around. The second group of people are people that have babies in strollers. And when the babies in strollers hit the potholes on the side of the street, they tip, which means the baby can fall out of the stroller. And babies do fall out of the strollers. Thirdly, we represent groups of kids who are just plain fooling around as they walk up and down Powell Boulevard, unaware that cars are coming close to them at 45 miles an hour. And it's extremely dangerous for these kids who aren't paying any attention to be right in the path of existing traffic. Fourthly, there are elderly people and people with disabilities who walk on Powell Boulevard regularly because they don't have any other way to get back and forth to the grocery stores or to other places that they have to go. They walk on Powell, and because they're unsteady and unsafe, they become unsafe by walking up and down Powell Boulevard. It was not long ago where an elderly woman fell, and when she fell onto Powell Boulevard. She couldn't get up, and traffic stopped for blocks while emergency workers helped her get up. By having no sidewalks, it puts people who are elderly and people with disabilities in serious risk. And finally, there's just many people who are walking along Powell Boulevard unaware that as cars go to make a left turn, the cars behind them regularly swing out to the right and come around them to the right. The cars coming around to the right can't see the pedestrians over here, and many accidents do occur. So on behalf of Human Solutions, we strongly support the East Powell Conceptual Design Plan and feel it will make it safer for the people in our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Last four.
Ronald Murray, Cammy Pearson, Edward Sullivan, and Nick Sully.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Ed Sullivan. 121 Southwest Morrison, Suite 1100 in Portland. I represent Curtis Traylor along with Ron Murray to my far right. Kevin Pearson is the representative of the company. We participated in the proceedings leading up to this plan. We support the plan with the amendments that the staff has given to you today. And I submitted a letter which was written before the amendments that were given to you today were presented to you. We had concerns over that part of our property across from Ed Benedict Park. You may remember that because the Federal Highway Administration doesn't want parkland to be acquired as part of road projects that the federal government participates in, a swing was made. And that legend that you see on page 19 of the plan was there. Staff has recommended that it be deleted. We certainly support that. And the limitation on the right-of-way acquisition for dedication at 38 feet from centerline, as would be the case for everybody else in that segment, we support that. The only thing that I heard that I want to make sure that you understand is that staff said, Mr. Gillum said that this is subject to ODOT approval. As far as the resolution that you're to adopt, I think that has nothing to do with ODOT, and we'll deal with ODOT if we have to, but we do support the plan, we do support the amendments to the plan, and we're happy to answer questions, and I know my colleagues want to speak as well.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Council. I want to thank John Gillum and the council for putting this together on the short notice today to make this work for Curtis Trailers and the family. There's the family. It's been here since in Portland since 1948. I'm a native Oregonian plus attorney here. And anyways, Curtis did try very hard to work within the plan boundaries, and only at the point where we came into a circumstance where we couldn't function within segment one did we work one-on-one with Mr. Gillum and the council members to proceed on this. Basically, Curtis Trailers is, you know, it's certainly a long-term excellent member of the community, pays substantial tax base of about $40,000 in taxes, and contributes to the community. Myron H. Curtis, who is the founder of the business, father has passed away a few years ago, and you can see his very young daughters in some of the pictures here, and she's doing real well now, just as cute. This is Cammy Pearson, Curtis.
Which one are you in that picture, Cammy?
Well,
I'm the oldest daughter.
You're the oldest? Okay, that's probably the tallest then.
Yes.
And so we did work hard to work towards a constrained corridor, to work towards you know, a fixed right-of-way, because trailers have a real difficulty in moving through cross traffic on the property, and any type of accesses in and out require on the hillside require some tailspin and dragging, and so this would have been very difficult without what the council has done today, and so it's very much appreciated. The fact is also, of course, any type of a corridor plan like this poses a real cloud on property interests, and if a business has to move or handle any matters like that, it can be really placed in a difficult position. And again, we thank council for the efforts today. One thing I want to just clarify as a point of order for Mr. Gillum, and he can respond if he thinks this is not accurate. On in segment one on page 20 of the plan, we understand the centerline adjustment item on that page doesn't impact any properties to the west of 104th, and so if he's here, maybe if he has any disagreement with that, I'd like to hear that.
He does that later.
Excuse me?
He'll do that later.
Okay, so as our understanding is the council's understanding that that only refers to centerline adjustments to the east of 104th Avenue.
We'll do that. It works. You testify, and then we'll have John come up and clarify that.
Okay, thank you. And I think everything's been taken care of on this regard, and so I'm going to turn this over to Cammy Pearson, and so she can make some testimony here.
Well, first of all, Mayor and Councilors, thank you very, or Commissioners, excuse me, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak. Quite honestly, I have this whole several pages that I had prepared, and I'm so thankful that what's transpired here within the last hour, I don't have to do it. So, again, I certainly appreciate the fact that John Gillum and the group has been very willing to look at the issues that we have. Our business, it has been located in the area. As a matter of fact, we were on the south side of Powell. In 1947, my father built a home on the south side of Powell, and unfortunately, that was torn down when the Mount Hood Freeway was proposed to go through. So, but our business on the north side of Powell is up and running, and we plan to be there for a long time. We have third generation working in the business. And I think, you know, with regard to, obviously, the center line, the constrained corridor, and so forth, the issues, it appears that we are going to have those resolved and be able to come to consensus on that. I feel very fortunate because, obviously, we need to give back to the community. We're a big part of the community. We need to do our share, but we are also in a pinch there. So the only other thing, I guess, that I would like to comment on that I have repeatedly, besides our individual specific
issues with regard to our property. The only other issue that I was not in favor of with the plan, which, by the way, I do support the plan completely, and I thank the CWG members for all of their time and effort. They did spend a lot of time, especially the members that showed up and actually gave input into the plan. It was a long time and a lot of involvement in it, and I think a lot of good has come out of it. So the only other consideration that I would ask for is, quite frankly, I was very disappointed that the roadways went from 12 feet to 11 feet. I would just ask for a reconsideration of narrowing that. The plan, this particular plan exceeds the bike ped recommendations going from 12 to 20 feet, and it currently is now below ODOT standard, minimum ODOT standards. And a couple of things were the criteria for the plan requires improved safety and equality for all modes. And I don't see that either of those two are really fitting into narrowing the lanes to 12 feet. I don't think it's a very difficult fix. I believe that you could take 4 inches off of the bikes, 4 inches off the sidewalks, and 4 inches off the the planters, if you will, or however, but to return the travel lanes to 12 feet. I think it is a safer, a lot, there are many, many wide vehicles, oversized vehicles, towing, and in order to stop safely and turn, there's tail swings on trailers.
So your time is up, ma'am. It's okay. Any final thoughts?
No, other than to say thank you. I certainly do appreciate it.
Well, thank you and congratulations on your fourth generation?
Actually, fourth.
Fourth generation. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
We'll make sure that it continues on. You can go ahead and return to your seats because we're out of microphones. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm Nick Sylvia. I'm with Wells Community Development. I'm not affiliated with Curtis Trailer. The housing that we provide stays in one place. Wells is a nonprofit working to revitalize out of Southeast, and we've also been active with the Eastport Action Plan, Economic Development Subcommittee, and I support the proposed Powell Boulevard plan. The proposed three-lane design has broad public support, and we also appreciate the pedestrian transit and cyclist improvements that are envisioned. I wanted to emphasize a few points, and the first one I know is outside of this study area, but I'd like the council to consider that Powell and I-205 need a complete interchange. It's currently not possible to travel east on Powell from southbound I-205 or to enter the freeway southbound from westbound Powell, and this impedes access to neighborhood businesses, and it also drives through traffic into the residential neighborhoods. I'd ask that be considered. Second, the Powell plan states, because transportation needs across Portland and the metropolitan region are many and competition for limited funds is intense, funding for future improvements of Powell will require city and regional consensus that addressing needs on outer Powell is a priority that takes precedence over transportation needs elsewhere. I'm sure you've seen Locked Out, the Oregonian series on affordable housing. Monday's article described how East Portland and Gresham are carrying most of the burden for providing affordable housing in the region. Powell is a main commercial artery serving those communities. EPAP and other community members would be happy to support the city in working with Metro to prioritize transportation funds to communities that are doing the right thing, providing a place to live for our region's moderate income households. And I'd really like to thank the council, thank staff, and the citizens who have worked on this.
Thank you all very much. All right, John, do you want to come up and speak to the issue raised by the folks from Curtis Trailer?
Good
the issue had to do with the right-of-way dedication maximum even east of 104th, if I understood the question correctly. And the plan would limit dedication to 38 feet